Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
He is a part of the pre- and post-game on TBS, along with Jimmy Rollins, Pedro Martinez, and Curtis Granderson. Bob Costas, kind enough to join us now on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Bob, thanks for coming on, as always. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Doing very well, and let's talk about what we saw last night. When you look at traffic on the bases, you know a team like the Dodgers is going to capitalize sooner or later, and they did exactly that as they rallied to get a much-needed win.
Yeah, they had a woeful number. I don't recall it off the top of my head, but in terms of batting average with runners in scoring position in this series. And the Braves, through the eighth inning yesterday, were doing very well in that department. And that was the difference in the series, so it seemed. And it seemed, as you guys know, and I'm sure you've talked about it already, they're on the verge of taking a stranglehold on the series, but that's how quickly things can change.
Hey, Bob, tell me if this is a proper response. I actually have a friend who 4 minutes ago texted me this. I need someone to tell me this NLCS situation isn't as bad as I think it is. My response, I haven't hit send yet, is it is, but it's not, but it is, but it's not, maybe. Am I okay with hitting send now and letting him know that that's sort of how I feel today?
I think that is a perfect explanation, and it has perfect clarity to it. It is, but it isn't. It might be. It could be. I think it is, but maybe not. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's okay. Very precise.
You are a Hall of Famer, so I just hit send as we are speaking.
Got the stamp of approval. Bob Costas with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker.
You can't get in much trouble because you can always cite the part of it that's correct and disregard the part that turns out to be incorrect.
Yes. I think it was Carl Ravitch that we asked this the other day. How good does it feel to be back on the field? I had an opportunity to see you in Atlanta, to be around not only media people, get a chance to say hello to some people you haven't seen, but being around the cage, being able to talk to coaches, doing that stuff in person. Because, you know, let's be honest, you can be in a booth for too long. You can be in a studio for too long. And the way the world's gone for a year and a half, there's a lot of we've done stuff for too long. How good did it feel to be here on the field?
You know, you really hit it with that. In Atlanta, just sitting in the dugout with Brian Snitker, saying hello to players as they go walking by, even if you don't have a conversation, hey, how you doing? Other media members, then go to the other dugout and sit and have a baseball conversation with Dave Roberts. And some of that you use on the air and some you don't, but you're just around kind of the community of baseball. And I've enjoyed almost everything I've covered in my career. But baseball and the NBA, the Olympics were in a different category, but baseball and the NBA are the two that I enjoyed the most, not just because of the games themselves, but because of the atmosphere. And when you're at home on a Zoom or you're in a studio, it's just not the same. It's not even close to being the same. So to be able to feel it, and fans in the stands, I mean, you know this, last year in the NLCS, they're playing, the Braves and Dodgers are playing at Globe Life Stadium in Dallas. It was the best they could do. Limited numbers of fans. There was a good reason for it. But it lacked all of those elements that made yesterday at Dodger Stadium so electrifying and what made the first two games at Truist Park so electrifying with a different result.
And you look, of course, at this series with the defending world champion Dodgers at home. And last night, Dave Roberts said it after the game. We thought we were pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing to a certain extent, left for dead. It's amazing how one big swing of the bat can change the entire attitude. But how much experience that the Braves went through last year can be a factor this time around? Because that's what Snitker and everybody else is saying. This is a different team this year.
Rosters change so much in baseball because of moves dictated by the economics of the game or injuries or other circumstances. So, yeah. It is a much different team than a year ago, playing under much different circumstances in home ballparks. And if ever that old sports cliche really applied, this is one time. It's not just who you play. It's when you play them. The Dodgers won 106 games and were very nearly knocked out in one game by a Cardinal team that was under 500 for a good portion of the season, then got hot late. The Braves, as you know, never crept above 500 until early August. But after that, they played like a true pennant contender. They won only 88 games total. That's the lowest of any division winner among the six divisions in baseball this year. But they could very well get to the World Series and face a Red Sox team that was floundering and barely qualified for the wild card. That could very well happen. Baseball's postseason now is a tournament, much more so than it used to be. And I'm not even talking about the old days when it was just win the pennant and go to the World Series. When there were two divisions per league and you had the LCS and then you went to the World Series, it felt pretty much old school. But now it's a roll of the dice. And when you catch a team that's hot toward the end, then the season record doesn't matter nearly as much. But what does seem to matter, guys, is this. The Dodgers have now won, I think, 18 of their last 19 or 17 of their last 18 home games, dating to late August. The only one they lost was the 1-0 loss to the Giants in Game 3 of the Division Series when Longoria hit the home run off Scherzer. And the Braves have lost their last 10 games in a row at Dodger Stadium and something like 21 of their last 25 at Dodger Stadium. So home field advantage in baseball generally doesn't mean as much as it seems to mean in other sports. But for the Dodgers, it does.
Hey, Bob, is the best thing about baseball, we were talking about Bill Miller. We had Kevin Millar on yesterday, and certainly Mazeroski, who's a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't anywhere near the star in that series when you look at the star power on both of those teams. Is the best thing about baseball is the guy from beyond the left field wall could absolutely do something, and quite honestly, there's a really good chance one of those guys will do something really big.
Hey, you can answer that in two words or two names. Francisco Cabrera. There are others, but for the purposes of Braves fans and your listeners, Francisco Cabrera. That's a thing about baseball. You can't make it Babe Ruth or Barry Bonds' time at bat just because you want it to be. You know, 5 seconds to go in the game, Steve Kerr's going to try and put the ball in Steph Curry's hands. And Frank Vogel's going to try to put it in LeBron James's hands, et cetera, et cetera. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, whoever it might be, Kareem, you're going to go to your best guy if you possibly can. Brady's looking for Gronk. Montana was looking for Rice. But sometimes all you got on the bench is Francisco Cabrera, or the lineup spits out some guy who hit 226, and that's all you can do. And in that moment, that guy becomes Bucky Dent. That's just the way it is. Or it becomes Don Larson, for God's sake, and throws a perfect game. Although in today's baseball, if Don Larson was throwing a perfect game, they'd take him out after 92 pitches because, after all, analytics.
Bob Costas with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. We also had Jeff Francoeur on with us. He's been with us all year, but obviously calling the National League Championship Series with TBS. We asked him about social media because that's the biggest change, as you and everybody else well knows. Social media. Everybody thinks that you're against their team. How much attention to that do you pay, if any at all?
Laughing attention. Everybody thinks you're against their team. And if I can take a moment here, I'll lay it out for you. No broadcaster has ever received, back in the days when people actually wrote letters, has ever received a letter or an email or read a tweet or whatever that went something like this. Dear Mr. Michaels, Nance, Musburger, Buck, whomever, Costas, I am a fan of the Seattle Mariners. Therefore, I have no particular rooting interest in the series between the Braves and the Dodgers. But just as a matter of objectivity and professionalism, I found you to be horribly biased against the Braves or against the Dodgers. No one has ever received one communication that went like that. But we have all gotten from fans who are watching the same game and hearing the exact same words, the interpretation that those words indicate bias against their team. But then you'll get the same letter from someone who's heard the same words indicating bias against the other team. And in truth, with rare exceptions, we're not talking about home team announcers now, but network announcers root for a couple of things. One, we root for drama and the best storylines. It's actually better on a national basis for this series to be 2-1 than 3-0. But that doesn't mean that has a negative impact on the way Brian Anderson calls the game. He's still calling it in a professional fashion, but it's more exciting now on a national basis that the Dodgers are back in it. It's more exciting if it goes 7. And in truth, if it goes 7 and it ends in Atlanta, it's more exciting if the Braves win it because you have the crowd going crazy. So we broadcasters root for the best storylines, the most dramatic games, because you're able to do your best work under those circumstances. And then secondarily, you know what we root for? We root for our own convenience. Does this city have friends and relatives? Do we stay at the Four Seasons in this city, or do we have to stay at a lesser hotel? Do I have restaurants I like to go to there? How long is the flight? That's what we root for.
Bob, that was so impassioned and perhaps so on the money, and you've convinced nobody of anything.
Of course.
Tell Nick how much social media you actually have.
Zip.
Oh, you're a smart man.
Nada. You heard what happened the first game. Maybe you saw it. The first game where I was hosting the pregame, they threw up a tweet going to commercial where somebody said they were happy to see me on the broadcast, which is very nice. And I turned to Jimmy Rollins and I said, you know, I'm on Twitter. Hashtag when hell freezes over.
I told you on the field, that's our friend Crazy Andy, who actually has a real job and an occupation. And listen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He actually works for a living.
Yeah.
I think.
He's not the proverbial guy in his mother's basement.
As far as we know, unless he's been hoodwinking us this whole time, Bob, with driving a nice car and having nice clothes. So what's going to happen today? I'm not talking about a final score. I'm not talking about a prediction. I'm talking about atmosphere around the batting cage because you're going to get down there again. Total disclosure, you have to ask the manager if this is going to impact the game the next day. I know Brian Snicker has to answer said question. Short of him screaming that I can't play these three guys because they're going to have urine running down their legs at some point during this game, I don't think it affects anything. I don't know if you'll feel that on the field today, or if you have a feeling of whether there's carryover and bad moments or not. What do you sense you'll feel on the field today?
Well, the Braves do not feel, despite their struggles at Dodger Stadium, which they have in common with a lot of visiting teams, the Braves do not feel that the difference of, 18 regular season wins between the Dodgers and the Braves, they don't feel that that makes much difference at all because they're a different team now. They're playing very good baseball, generally speaking. They've proven they can play with the Dodgers. All three games have been one-run games. The fact that yesterday was a very tough defeat for them, they put behind them. They still hold the lead in the series. And once the game is underway, the first pitch is thrown, it's a new game. I would say, however, that if the Dodgers had lost and they're down 3-0, you know, they're still professionals. They still go out and win. There would definitely be a psychological disadvantage if you're down 3-0. It's hard to look at that fourth game as just a single game when you're down 3-0. But when you're already up 2-1, even though you've had a disappointing defeat, I think you bounce back and you go play the next day, which is today.
And Cody Bellinger, the third home run in Dodgers history that tied a postseason game. I'm sure you know that. But the Dodgers, listen, in this town, people believe in a curse. I don't know if I believe in it specifically, Bob, or not, but when you look at this number, the Dodgers had lost all 83 previous postseason games in both L.A. and Brooklyn, in which they trailed by three or more runs in the eighth inning or later. It does make it take pause, does it not?
You know, there's so many statistics available now. The Elias Sports Bureau can spit out all kinds of stuff. Some of it seems to be relevant. Some of it's not. You know, I hear people say things like, he's the first A's hitter to hit for the cycle following a game in which he had four or more hits post All-Star break since 1999. Uh-huh. And what am I supposed to make of that? Not that much. You know, I think it's kind of random. You know, the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers and the L.A. Dodgers have been in a lot of postseasons, and they've often done well. And I think it's just a random, arcane fact that they had never come back from more than three runs down in the seventh inning or later to win until yesterday.
I wanted to circle back.
You're down by three or more in the late innings, you're not likely to win.
I wanted to circle back to something you said about announcers. They're rooting for moments because we opened the show because it was all over social media when Bellinger hit the home run last night, or Ron Darling saying, yes, yes, twice. Let's just say that a lot of Atlanta fans weren't happy about that. But does that go back to what you said? He's rooting for a storyline, a moment to extend the series and have more eyes on the series.
Yeah, or maybe it connects to something he said previously. And so it's kind of an addendum to that. And then take it out of context, it's interpreted as something else. You know, all of us have seen so many, many games. I'll tell you another story in that regard. was there ever anyone more professional and better at his craft than Vin Scully? And because the Dodgers were often successful, he called postseason games on network television involving the Dodgers. 1986 World Series doesn't involve the Dodgers. It's the Red Sox against the Mets. And during one game, the NBC switchboard in New York logged roughly 1,800 calls of complaint about Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola. 1,000 of them came from New York, therefore we assume Met fans. 800 roughly came from Boston. The difference, I would guess, just accounted for by the fact that New York's population is bigger than that of Boston. And most of the people calling from Boston, why the hell are they so negative about the Red Sox? And most of the people calling from New York, won't they give the Mets a break? It's just insanity. And hey, here's what should happen. You know, you watch the Manning cast now on ESPN2. It's an alternative. Here's what should happen. The network that owns the rights and which is paid a fortune for those rights should be able to allow the local announcers, the people you're comfortable with, if the Braves people want to watch the Braves guys, and if the Dodgers fans want to watch the Dodgers guys, you use the same network feed. You have to play the network's commercials, and they have to be able to cobble the local rating from Atlanta and L.A. or whatever city's involved. They have to be able to add that to their own ratings so that they don't shortchange advertisers and they can sell at the highest possible rates. But let local fans listen to their own announcers if that's what they want to do, and then it's problem solved.
All right. Bob, three things, and we'll finish up. Let's say loved ones are not in the house. The infamous, if you have to grab one thing, possession. I don't know if you want to call it a prized possession, but is there something that you actually see in the home or you know that it's put away someplace that you actually enjoy more knowing that you have it than anything else?
Well, I think I would grab photos. You know, everyone has stuff digitally now, but I'd grab photos of family members and my kids and, you know, various times in your life. I'd grab the photos first. And there's some sports memorabilia, but not that much. I'm not really that much of a collector. And the Mickey Mantle card is usually on me. So as I made a mad dash to save my own life, the Mantle card would go with me. So we'd be okay.
Greatest event you ever covered, actually working an event. What's the one that you feel is the most memorable, most visceral?
Well, I call it a three-way tie. I've been asked this before. Muhammad Ali lighting the torch at the opening ceremony in Atlanta in 96. Kirk Gibson's home run, game one of the 88 World Series. Because not only was it exciting from a baseball standpoint, but it was so theatrical. If you were making a movie, you couldn't do any better. And in fact, before game two of that series, we intercut Robert Redford's last at-bat in The Natural, which had come out only a few years before, with Gibson's at-bat. And it was eerie how much everything mirrored the rest of it. Redford and Gibson, even Wilford Brimley as the manager of the New York Knights, jumping up in the air, looked like Tommy Lasorda jumping up in the air. And even Redford going around the bases in some respect was the same as Gibson. So that's another one. And then Michael Jordan's last shot as a Chicago Bull to win his and the Bulls' sixth championship with that jumper that turned a one-point deficit into a one-point win at Utah in Game 6 in 98 in the last dance season. Those are my three.
All right, this is the last one then for you. As a fan, you're not working. You don't have a jacket on, don't have a tie on. Most visceral event you've ever been in as a fan?
As a fan? Oh, man. You know, this sounds corny, but the stuff when you're a kid, you know, so the first time I went to Yankee Stadium, the first time I saw Mickey Mantle hit a home run at a game I was at, not on television or listening on the radio, and it went right over my head. I was sitting in the lower right field stands in the early 1960s at the old Yankee Stadium, right over my head into the upper deck in the three-tiered Yankee Stadium, and I swear you could hear the crack of the bat like a thunderclap. He hit it off Camilo Pascual in an April game sometime in the 1960s, batting left-handed into the upper deck in right field. And everything's just more exciting when you're a kid. That first time's always more exciting. So maybe when I hang up, I'll think of a better answer, but that's my answer for now.
Well, you got Chris's number. Bob Costas, always a pleasure having you on. Appreciate the time.
Nick, Chris, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob Costas with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.